Accession number 9405, Reel 2.
Mr. Young, Reel 2, you were just saying that you opened up with the 4.7 on Cherbourg.
And then we withdrew, and the Renown then opened up with our 15-inch gun. And then we carried on into Portsmouth then.
Was there any incoming fire against you?
No, no.
Do you know how many rounds?
I wouldn't like to say. Quite a few. I wouldn't like to say.
Could you actually see the shore?
Well, I couldn't because I wasn't involved in the guns. I was down below the magazine. There you go. Well, I never seen it. You see.
But what was your action station then?
0.5. Oh yes, 0.5. I was there. Yes, I never seen nothing there. I didn't see anybody. I couldn't see only the shells landing and the flares like when they exploded. But apart from, I never seen much. Never seen any at all. Quite, to be honest, not as I remember.
So were you on the 0.5 or
yes,
were you down below?
No, I was on the 0.5.
Any other action you saw on the Javelin?
Only when we were engaged. When they say when we come to the being torpedoed, we encountered the E-boats.
This was when you actually sunk,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Where was the Javelin located when she was sunk?
We were about quite a few miles outside of Devonport. Yeah, we were in the channel.
And were you by yourselves?
Well, there was somebody else, but then I can't think who was with us at the time. There was some more destroyers with us. We were a flotilla leader, and Lord Louis Mountbatten came aboard us. He was waiting for the Kelly to be patched up before she got sunk for the last time. And I can't think who the other ships were.
Where were you heading for?
Well, we were heading for the E-boats. We were on the patrol, and we encountered these, and they just let the torpedoes go, and that was it. One hit fired in 1 hour. The bows were blown off, and the stern caught fire, and eventually that broke away, and we were left with the centre part of the ship.
What time of day was it?
Oh, it was this happened. Now I've got to go back. I can't. It was night time, or it was during the evening, I believe. It was during the day. It was during the day, and because we had to wait for the tugs to come out from Devonport to tow us in. So it shows you we weren't all that far out of Devonport. The tugs come out. And they come alongside and they held us up. Come alongside us to hold us up. And we had to wait till morning before we go into the boom into Devonport. We were towed during the night, and they wouldn't open the boom until the dawn. And then they towed us in. Then we were towed in all the way.
So the ship didn't actually sink?
No, all they had was just the centre part of the ship. That's all it was. From the bows, we had no bows and no stern. And we couldn't fire any guns. The aircraft come over, German aircraft come over. But we couldn't fire any guns because once we opened up with the guns that was left, the shoring would have fell down, the ship would have just gone down.
So the ship didn't fire at any stage?
Only the other destroyers that was with us. And there was a party deal, a volunteer party to stop on the ship to take her in. All the others were took off by the other destroyers.
Were you taken off?
No, I was on the ship. I stopped on the ship.
You volunteered to stay on?
Yeah.
Why was that? Why did you volunteer?
Well, I wanted to volunteer, and I thought, well, it's we've got to get the ship in somehow. And if you weren't volunteer, you were told off. So.
You mean you'd have had to do it anyway?
Well, I think so. Yes.
What job did you have to do aboard?
Well, aboard the Zeppelin. While we were waiting.
When you were being after the torpedoing of the Javelin.
I see. When we were waiting for the tugs to come out to us.
Yes.
Well, all we could do was I had to go down to the engine room and take the depth of water, see how much water was coming in, and report to the officer of the watch.
Was the water pouring into?
No, it was seeping through. She was coming. It was seeping through. She wasn't sinking. She was holding her own, more or less.
But if either end of the ship had been blown off, why wasn't the water pouring in?
Well, because of the watertight doors. That's the idea of having watertight doors. You shut them and no water can get through.
But water was seeping through the water.
It was obviously coming from somewhere. There was water coming through in the engine room. Whether the engine room had been damaged at all, I don't know.
How deep was the water down there?
Well, it didn't go right down. I couldn't hardly tell you. To be honest, I couldn't really tell you. I just get the water and there was a mark. There was a mark there, and I had to see if that water was coming above that mark. And report to the bridge.
And was it going above the mark?
No.
What were you doing when the ship was torpedoed?
We were an action station. And we lowered a boat. We lowered a seaboat, the whaler. And I thought, well, I'd already been torpedoed once. I'm going to get wet the wet again this time, so I got into the whaler. And I very often smile about it, you know. And I just got in the whaler. I just had enough room to sit on the stern of the whaler. All it was packed, cramped, you know. And we pulled away from the ship, and we got to I can't think of the name of the ship. They got a J boat. And we pulled in over to her to get aboard her, and the Lord Louis man Batten or one officer or an officer shouted through the megaphone, "Return to the ship." And of course, we've got to return to the ship, they say. And that's why I think we would have been told off to stop on the ship. So we got back on board the ship, and then of course asked the volunteers to stop, and I thought, what are you going to tell us anyway? So I stopped.
You mean you think they would have picked the people on the whaler?
I think they would have.
Had there been an announcement for abandoned ship?
No, there was no order. You see, no order abandoned ship. In other words, we were deserting her.
How long were you at action stations before the ship was hit?
Oh, not long. Weren't there for. Say, I suppose when we left the Guam Patrol, you go to defence station and they call you to action station. We weren't there all that long. I'd say if an hour, as much as we were.
So you were on the point five, were
point
you?
Point five, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you fire?
No, there's a chance of fire. Just be guys, that was it. The torpedoes, it is.
Did you see the E-boats?
Oh, I didn't, no.
Did you see the torpedo track?
No. I couldn't even tell you what side they hit.
What was it like when the torpedoes hit?
Oh, is it not the same again? You get one bang, one terrific bang. And then the bags, they just floated away, and that's where my mess deck was. Where they went, all our mess decks was there.
So you lost your possessions again.
Lost them all again. Yes, in the stern door. And that's where that man, that letter I showed you from his mother, and that's where he was on that after pilot ship when it went.
So this was a shipmate of yours from Hull?
Yes.
Who was killed?
Yes.
Whose mother you wrote
that's
to,
right.
To tell him?
Yes.
What was his name?
Levitt. I wrote Levitt. Mm.
Was there much panic when the ship was hit?
Only those who wanted to get off it, like I did.
Did you see anything of the casualties?
I've seen, and where the stern broke off, we used to have the after set of torpedo tubes. We used to have two sets of tubes. And they then took off and replaced with a 4-inch gun. And the aircraft gun, 4-inch. And we walked down, because it was all in, it was all twisted. And inside all this twisted metal and that was a buddy.
Was what?
A buddy. And he was a leading seaman Lawrence. And he came from Southampton, I believe. And then got towed into Devonport, and I left, and I went to the barrack after that.
Which was the most frightening, the sinking of the Courageous?
Oh, the Courageous. Courageous was the one.
Why was that?
I think because of the sinking, of the ship sinking itself. When you see the ship go down. When she went down like that, on an angle, she went down like that. And the stern came up, you see. And hanging on to the stern was a rising, and he went down with her. And then when she went below the sea, and you just heard a rumbling noise, and that was it. She was finished.
Why should somebody hang on to the stern instead of just letting go?
Well, you can't tell what's in a person's mind, whether he thought it was she was going to stay afloat, or he thought it was just something to hold on to while it went. Perhaps he couldn't swim, you see.
Would you have many of the crew who couldn't swim?
Oh, quite a few, because there was, when I joined as a boy, you see, you had to pass a swimming test before you left the establishment. And I joined HMS Sir Vincent, which is in Gosport. And you had to swim two lengths of the bath in a duck suit, like a canvas suit, and stay afloat for 3 minutes. And you had to pass that before you went to sea, before you went to your first ship. And then when you went to a ship, all of a sudden they called. I was in Malta at the time. I was on HMS Repulse as a boy, and they shout your name out, and no matter what you're in, overalls or what, they'd say to you, "Boy, young, over the side," and you have to pass your deep sea test, then what they call deep sea swimming test, and you swim around the ship.
Say somebody failed the test, what would happen to them?
They carry on till they were, then I'm talking peacetime, you see. They carry on until they passed it. Then, of course, when the war broke out, it was all abolished, you see. They didn't have time to train men to swim. You had non-swimmers that come on in the Navy, if they got the torpedo, well, that was it.
So it would only be the hostilities only people who couldn't swim?
I would say, oh yes, then, because as I say, before the war, we all could swim then.